their focus is very much on finding where the birds are, because the birds have found where those patches of life in the sea are, and then they take their very, very gigantic fishing boats and they go and try to catch up as much of it as they can. Before they breed and until they breed, they have no reason to return to land, and they never return to land, and their world is the ocean just as much as your world is the land. The average albatross probably travels about 50,000 miles a year. They'll spend maybe 3 weeks out foraging, and it'll take 10 minutes to feed the chick, and then they'll leave again. Many of us are all trying to do the same thing, which is just to try to learn about the world that we live in. The animals are, they're very, very different from us in a lot of the little details, but they're extremely similar in a lot of the broad strokes. Many animals, if you put juveniles or animals that were raised in captivity out in the wild, they would die right away. So there's a lot of learning involved for all of us in how to make it and how to survive. That's what science is supposed to do. It's supposed to help us all understand the world. Science was very confined by studying only the breeding part of their lives and not understanding anything about what happened in between. We're killing a lot of things that very few people even realize are disappearing, and I think that that's the great hazard and the great shame of it as well. You start losing the things that really matter as far as supporting life on the planet, and we're definitely getting close to those places, and we're starting to affect things that do really matter. It's a matter of adaptation to what counts as home. One of the most heartbreaking things is to see how adaptations that have been tuned to such extremes over such a long period of time are exactly those things that people exploit. Nothing is really adapted to people who come with the idea of killing all of them, and groups of people are not adapted to coping with that either. There are some simple techniques that can be used by fishing boats so that seabirds don't get killed in the course of the operations, or very, very, very few of them would get killed. And those techniques are now beginning to be adopted. The more you have real hope, the more you'll be willing to work at it. I think sometimes we have a false sense of disgust and a false sense of hopelessness. In the North Atlantic, there's a long tradition of assuming inexhaustibility and not a sense of restraint in any way, and a denial that people can actually affect what's happening in the oceans. Wherever people have worked to reduce effort and rationalize the amount of fishing power based on the resource, the people are doing much better, and the resource is also doing much better. And people haven't realized in the North Atlantic that when you defend your fishing deteriorates, and when you defend your fishing improves. There's really no place that you can go where the things that live there are not feeling the effects of humanity in some very substantive ways. More and more, it's really clear that there is nothing in the world that is just natural without feeling a significant effect from people. The birds may be able to see the lines of the magnetic orientation of the planet. People make all the differences, and people shape the world, and they either are going to shape it in positive ways or negative ways.